What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom, and I'm here with Lotus as usual, and we've got our patrons here this week to invent our own Daedric princes. I'm not sure what that means. I am sure that we are going to get some very diverse explanations. And Lotus is here. Lotus, how's it going?
It's going well. I would be more interested is if everybody comes up with the exact same thing based on this wildly, like, just nebulous prompt, and everybody just has the exact same layout.
Right, like, invent your own Daedric prince, and they're like, all right, it's a very strong mouse, kind of like Mighty Mouse. And then the other person who goes after them is like, yeah, I was thinking basically the same thing. And then
less copyright infringement.
Like, why are we all inventing Mighty Mouse to be a Daedric prince? That's super weird. And the fact that everybody all decided to do that at the same time is even more weird. I guess we're going to have to find out, because we have Rob the Princess, Ben of Temeria, Blinding Vision, and Falcon with a Box on joining us this week. Welcome, everybody. I'm not going to do the countdown thing and make you do funny words, but I will call out your name so everybody knows who you are when you talk. Oh, that Beautiful. Was Rob. That's Rob. Hi, Rob. How's it going? Do you want to start us off? This is super casual. I feel super
was
casual.
That, I was going to say, was
I
was
thought that. We were all going to Voltron into one, so I just have a really detailed arm.
Oh, well.
All right. Go.
That's most of a superpower.
No, I do not want to go first, though. No.
That's fine. Who would like to start us off? Who has a pretty clear idea what their invented Daedric prince will be? Is anybody brave enough? I'm looking at a lot of, like, I don't know about
this. I know. I like how this idea was, like, super popular, but we actually don't have a good basis for it. It just sounds really cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool concept, and the idea of not having to come up with our own idea was, I think, a leading cause in that.
Yeah, but you still have to come up with your own idea about this idea. So it just, no one else just wants delayed to take a little lead, bit. More.
I can just start rambling until I make sense.
Let's see what happens when Rob just rambles.
Oh, just blinding? Oh.
No. I don't have anything. I'm just impressed that the team would. ESO managed to make one up.
I was, like, about to say,
it's just so ridiculous.
With one, yeah.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, though, as you learn more about her and how this... Lotus and I are going to have to dive into this once we're kind of... I mean, the game's still pretty new for people.
Right, but you don't want to spoil anything yet.
It definitely has implications for some of the things that were even predominant theories about the way the world of Elder Scrolls works are kind of turned on the head a little bit. So we're going to have to get into that in the future. But this idea of, like, a Daedric prince who's in charge of paths of fate... and how that plays into reality. I think it really does encapsulate something very interesting, because the Daedric princes themselves aren't just weird and wacky characters. They're all kind of, in some way, a fundamental part of nature or the way humanity seems to work. You know, those kinds of things. Like, madness is a humanity kind of thing. Dominance, or the destruction of something, or light, even. Like, there's these different themes with different Daedric princes. So maybe that could be a fun starting off point, is to kind of pick something that's a little bit foundational to reality or humans or something like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the concepts have been taken, which is the hard part. I'm like, oh, man, I really like to have a prince that does this, and then I'm like, oh, that's Namira. That's Malakath. So that's the hard part, is trying to find one that, although, I mean, that's kind of an issue with the princes of themselves, is that, like, Namira and Mephala both like creepy crawly bugs.
Right.
And
there's
Malakath and Yersin both like the, like, you know, honorable actions.
But it makes sense that there's overlap, because they are different in other distinct ways. And it shows that, like, as we've seen in many of the games, there are times where they kind of team up, especially in ESO, where they seem to team up, or, you know, the good Daedra of the Dunmer, like that sort of thing. Like, these come together because they have similarities that are putting them in a way where they would actually want to cooperate in some way, at least for a short period of time before they decide to get each other's throats again. So what do you think? Is there, like, can you think of another fundamental piece of nature? I mean, my mind goes to things like growing things, like plant life isn't super predominant, at least off the top of my head in any
In like a Danger Prince setting, like
okay,
so going off that, just so we get something going for people, like I like the idea. So like yours kind of mentioned the plant life thing. One of the things we were talking about back when we talked about Dagon is the destruction and following creation of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I also kind of like the fact that you could go something along the lines with that, where it's like there's less of an, I mean, that's a little bit, he's got the creation aspect, one that they don't really delve into an awful lot. It's usually like Dagon blows things up. Like, that's usually what the vibe is. Right.
But the destruction of something leads to the creation of something new.
The creation of something new.
It's very Siwa, or spelled Shiva in Hindu
and belief. It's something that the older games kind of touched on a little more at points, even though he was just your kind of generic villain type of deal. But it was something that was like referenced a bit Fireback. So having one like maybe like an actual like creation Daedra would be kind of interesting, especially because there's that whole thing where they're not really known for creating something so much as moving stuff around, and some people sort of refer to that as a little more hard and fast rule than
It's a little more Aedric
ever implies.
The idea of the Aedra have to pour themselves into things in order to create them, you know.
Right.
What were you thinking, Rob? Who's chiming in? Sorry. Blinding's chiming.
Sorry, yeah. I've actually got an idea on that similar topic. So the growth or creation, it could also entail like overgrowth and like overtaking creating a forest, and maybe there was a jungle there that for some reason doesn't appear in the games for some reason. And things like cancer is essentially just a human cell replicating way more than it should. I mean,
yeah,
I realistically think that might be the best possible way forward if they were going to create another new Daedra,
like a cancerous
creation aspect
Daedra, like a Daedra like who wants Daedra to mimic like the Aedra in the ability to create things, but can't rein it in, and so it becomes something that like is all consuming and destructive in its creation. It overwhelms the natural landscape or the individual or whatever. Yeah, that's a cool idea. Like
I kind of like that, just because that makes me think of the thing that I immediately thought of when you brought that up, because that is something that actually, like, it's almost like a warped version of growth, like where it's not a positive, like trees and grit stuff like that, which Daedra tend to not be quite so sunny and cheery, so that kind of aligns with that. But the thing that I immediately think of is the blight disease that breaks out from the Elder Scrolls III Morrowind that you deal with. And even though it sucks, it also gives you like a bunch of benefits at the same time. So like Corpus is like bad, but also you get benefits from it, which is something that seems like it would align with like a Daedric Prince as well.
It feels kind of Perryite-ish, right? This idea of like a disease, but some people want it
being lame,
right? Without being lame, yes, right. But I like this Daedric Prince of Cancer thing.
Like, I know, it's so funny. That sounds so screwed up,
but it totally makes sense. Like, I feel like it fits. I feel like Blinding's right. That is a
it really does
a version of what we would see, like the Daedric version of something, kind of twisted and turned in a way that is not what the Aedra created. It's a manipulation of the thing, and maybe a poor shadowy reflection of the thing. It's
even darker. And again, it kind of goes in line with the idea that Daedra don't really create stuff. They just kind of like reform or whatever. So that's also, I actually, as screwed up as that one is, that's actually pretty unique and I think a pretty good one. I could totally see that like fitting the series.
Right. And this is another thing that we can talk about. It's kind of meta topic. We don't have to, not everybody has to have an idea. So
we could
all just kind of banter around about each of the ideas that we all come up with collectively.
No, we need six unique Daedra Princes.
We need six of them. Go. but here, let's throw it out to the panel. What would you call this Daedric Prince of Cancer if you had to like give it a name?
I probably wouldn't call it that.
Right.
Yes. Cancer. That seems like that would have some bad connotations just because it's like, woof.
And is it like a Zodiac thing? Does it look like a crab?
Oh, okay. Taking that approach.
Like, yeah, I saw
Hermaeus Mora. So is it related to Hermaeus Mora with the crab version?
Yeah, Blinding actually said this in our little chat before
I missed that one.
Yeah, this is still Blinding. Blinding's got all the ideas.
Princes are allowed to have overlap. So it has the overlap with the crabs with Hermaeus Mora, has the overlap with Periite with, you know, the growth and natural cycles.
I've got another thing on that line. I assume everyone here is a bit of a nerd. You guys have heard the term of carcinization.
Yeah.
Where everything just keeps evolving into crabs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's essentially, yeah. I mean, I would consider evolution to be part of the creation cycle in this regard too, is like twisted versions of things that already exist. I mean, that's kind of a given thing
of carcinization.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so
it exists already. Yeah. Like the Titans are dragons that were twisted in some form,
right.
A form of evolution.
Right, like there's a very small difference between a mutation and something that turns into cancer. In fact, often mutations are cancerous, right? So those two things could be linked together in the same Daedric Prince, like cancer, but also mutation, the changing of life in a different direction that they want to be more in control of.
Yeah.
So that could be part of it as well.
That is very interesting.
And
that's
it's seemingly everything they do eventually turns things into crabs in the end.
Yeah, and then the end result is crab.
Is crab.
Which is right. It's fine.
Or this, they change into cheese.
Okay.
So now we've tied in Shea Gorath.
So, wait, so what?
I just want to
they all get fermented?
Out there.
It's the fermentation mutation?
I wanted to like think of a name that relates to it, but all of the names of the current princes, they don't have like an on the nose name where it's like, you're named this because you're this, but just no, their names have nothing to do with it except for Sanguine.
Yeah. Sanguine's pretty on
that's true.
So what I would say though is the names of their realms sometimes tie in, not always, but their realm names usually relate a little more to what they're doing oftentimes,
for sure,
as opposed to their actual like given name.
Can you that opens up a whole bunch of other possibilities, because I'm thinking like, what kinds of things does this Daedric Prince do on Nirn, you know, to like the citizens of Tamriel, like spreading cancer and mutations, things like that. But if they have 100% control over their own domain and that's also part of them, then I would imagine that is a weird, super weird domain to go visit, because there's probably all sorts of weird cancerous mutated creatures all over the place. It probably feels like Fallout's wasteland.
Oh, man.
I was going to say, this would be the perfect time for the Elder Scrolls Fallout universes to link. And this is the sense of
maybe the Daedric Prince is just the Vault Boy.
I like it. Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Beautiful.
It's just Vault Boy.
I hate this idea again.
I take it back. I hate it all.
All right. Well, I think we solved that one. That's a good one. So another one, Outlander Frog in chat said, is there a Daedric Prince related to the weather? This was another direction that I had considered already.
That's interesting.
What do you all think about that? Does that make sense?
I mean, it would, in my opinion, would go with the whole life and destruction, because weather can erode and change the foundations of Nirn or anywhere, like even in our own world, mountains just didn't happen overnight. It was from, you know, thousands of years of erosion of weather and all that.
And Mirren's Dagon is kind of already that, and you could just have a different form of that. You know, there's obviously overlapping spheres, but you could just have one that kind of focuses on the weather in a different way than Mirren's Dagon, who really focuses on the destruction of natural events.
Right, yeah. Like the controlling of a volcano would be, it's not that he's the lord of volcanoes, it's just that's a way to destroy things, right?
Right.
But like everything else, you know, the storm clouds, the gales of the land.
Yeah, or even the waters. Like, we don't really have a Daedric Prince of the, I mean, Hermaeus Mora was something to do with the oceans to,
yeah.
Was that? The not the Nords, the other people from the north.
Amorns?
Nordic?
The,
well, I mean, they're Nordic.
Atmorans.
No, yeah,
Atmorans.
Dwemer.
Right. I think it was the Atmorans. But yeah, like a Daedric Prince that was kind of like a weather, like you know how in Elder Scrolls games, there are people who worship certain Daedric Princes because they see a certain benefit to aligning with them. as right. mistaken as they might be in that moment, they align with them, right? I would imagine that you would have like mariners, similar to mariners who say, you know, worshiped Poseidon or somebody like that, worshiping mm-hmm. a Daedric prince of just maybe not all weather, but just so that they don't get pissed off and then all of a sudden blow them away with like a hurricane.
Pretty much what Kine already does, or Kinnereth already does. But I mean, I think having a mirror from the prince side, from the Aedra side, yeah. is a lot more okay.
Like a dark, shadowy version of
the same
that.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a bastardization of it.
Right.
If
right.
If you want a corporeal form of this, I mean, and if anybody doesn't know already, I'm a big Final Fantasy nerd. Leviathan, a giant sea serpent.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That, I mean,
yeah, if that would that's, work as a yeah. apparition.
Right. I mean, we have aspects of, say, Akatosh that look like dragons. So you could even have that side of it. Like,
you mean like a weather dragon?
A weather nice. Dragon. That's in the water and is called a Leviathan. That would totally work. That makes sense. Now,
yeah, I don't know. I do like that. And it's funny because it's, again, it's one of these, man, Dagon ties into a lot of this stuff. Because
well, he's kind of one of the fundamental ones, right? We've talked about this before, how there are certain ones that feel more fundamental than others.
Sure. And it's just like when we got to explore the Deadlands, and everybody knows of the Deadlands, is like, oh yeah, lava and everything's like crisp. Got it. But then like when you started to go to some of the outskirts in the actual Deadlands DLC zone in the Elder Scrolls Online, you got to see some of the Maelstrom areas where it was like, oh, well, this is kind of like a lightning trench, essentially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's those wind gales on that like mountaintop and stuff like that. So it's kind of like almost more of a focus on the weather effects of that destruction type of thing, mm-hmm. which is kind of nice because I don't know. Well, not nice, like, oh, this is great. But like nice as in like that's something that I think is done really cool when they do address it. Mm-hmm. But it's just not really done all that frequently in the Elder Scrolls Online outside like Maomer have some decent sea magic stuff. But on land, that's not super common. I guess the druids a little bit with the land shaping.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some of those aspects. But yeah, you're right. I don't feel like that.
Yeah. It's much less common in this series.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is that like, I mean, I guess there are Aedra that they worship for certain things like crop rotations and things like that, but it just isn't pronounced very much. It's not one of those things that comes up all the time, you know, like,
right.
I don't know. I find that a little bit weird. All right. Any other ideas about this weather? Weather did.
Oh, about the weather one? No, I was just saying I have a new idea if we want to branch off to a new one.
Well, sure.
If we still have anything to discuss about the weather one, please feel free.
I think we're good on the weather one. We haven't come up with a name.
Atronachs.
Pliny writes Aquaman is cool in the ocean. Is it Aquaman the Daedra, the Daedric Prince?
Aquaman the Daedra. So the
just have Sharknado.
Yeah, there you go.
The new idea, and I think I'm stepping on new ground here. I don't think we have anything that is exactly this yet. It would be like a prince of psychopomp, like. Not like of death, not like not
right.
a Grim Reaper literally, but someone who is like a prince of that aspect, and thus you know, the worshippers would try to have maybe the most fulfilling death, or maybe the most interesting death, and maybe that requires an interesting life, or maybe it just requires the act of the death itself, and that could be interpreted in a lot of different ways,
or they try to help others pass. Well, like they are naturally the kinds of people who like the, hospice.
The good side of it would be, you know, like people who are just literally trying to guide people in their ending days. But the dark part of it would maybe be like wild kamikaze people who are just trying to go out in like the most explosive death possible, kind of like a Nordic warrior trying to make sure they go to Valhalla. They want to have the most triumphant death.
Right. Right. And, yeah, I would imagine that they would also want that for other people as well. So you would have some people who have more of the like the their own intentions on that, right? But then others who actually work in the shrines of this Daedric Prince who actively seek out those who are on the cusp of death in order mm-hmm. to try to guide them to their whatever afterlife that they believe they're going to, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's weird that we don't have a like a straight up prince of death yet, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, but like, there's like a lot of stuff related to death or burial rites and stuff like that, especially within some of the cultures more than others. But you're right. There's nothing. There's not anything along the lines of your stereotypical Grim Reaper or anything mm-hmm. like that.
Right. Well, all the Daedric princes at least seem maybe
they care about death.
Off the top of my head, they all care about it, and they all are trying to seemingly harvest their own souls in certain ways. So they're like,
this would be the easiest way to do it, wouldn't it?
Right. Yeah. Or one that wants to, in some ways, take that away from all of the other Daedric princes as a challenge to them, because they all kind of step on each other's toes in certain ways.
Sure.
And could be the kind of Daedric prince that like necromancers worship in order to like keep the soul from going where it needs to go. It's in order, they broker deals with this like Daedric prince of psychopompy. It's not really of death, but to delay that. And so they utilize not just trying to get, like, some of them who do the good thing try to get the souls where they're supposed to go, but some of them who want to utilize that power make deals with the Daedric prince, and the Daedric prince doesn't care which way it goes as long as that soul eventually goes where they're supposed to go. So they're okay to like broker deals in order to delay that.
Right. And as Ghost Toadlet actually mentions, Arkay comes relatively close to that, which is actually kind of a good point. I'd say, again, not really exactly the same, but like almost like the, you know, the Aedra version of what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I was actually going to say, do we have any examples of like an Aedra like being or a godlike being who has died? And then that was kind of the end of their story. Because I know we have like, Malekith was technically reborn Aedra, but like, do we have like
a, right.
the Aedra, a story where the Aedra are mostly
where they just die and they end their story there? Because I was like, that could be a cool, like, oh, this is a god who did die and thus became a Daedric prince of death because their godness actually did end.
I think
and we even have like some Daedric princes, like, I mean, with Jigalag, where it's like, well, yeah, you ended, but then you sort of became something else and then periodically come back. Grey March. So it's like, that's not even really elimination there either.
Right. Yeah. And the Aedra tend to be very mysterious. Like, we don't really know. Like, for the most part, they, like, did their thing and they retired.
Yeah, are we sure seemingly they're like still alive and and functioning?
That's a debatable point. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point.
So the closest one, aside from the Aedra that we know about, that I think there's Shor or what's his face? What's his?
I'm blanking on the empirical.
His regular name.
Akatosh.
Which is not Akatosh. It is Lorkhan. One. So Lorkhan. Lorkhan was actually killed. No. So there's that one. Although calling Lorkhan an Aedra is a little bit iffy. And then there's
also a dicey subject.
Yeah, right. He's like kind of
pretty. But also his death kind of already has its own important story.
Right. Yeah. And then there's Magnus, who just up and leaves. So there's one, which is like, that's very distinct and different from any of the Aedra or Daedra that we know about. So,
yeah.
And actually, something that just got brought up in chat from, it looks like Follow.
Yeah.
There is the idea that throughout the Kalpas, you actually lose Daedric princes. And sometimes, like, because there was the one with the Dreg King related to Molag Bal and stuff like that, where it's like, With the changing of these Kalpas, you'll get generational things. And it's one of the weird things about I forget if it was a Kirkbride post thing or if it's one of the weird old polls from the Elder Scrolls, but whereas Hermaeus Mor is kind of the scraps of the knowledge from previous Kalpas. So it's like, as a result, you get this hideous amorphous mess, but it's like a Daedric prince made out of all the stuff that's lost from previous Kalpas. So they're kind of almost all possibly getting killed and reborn, which also makes it kind of weird.
Well, and you throw on the whole Ithilius stuff with the fades, the threads of fate, and then Kalpas, are even Kalpas what we think they might be? Or do we have like a multiverse thing going on? Like Kalpas assume a cycle, right? Like there's a first Kalpa, and then there's a second Kalpa, and then there's third Kalpa, and everything's kind of linear. Everything moves in a series. But if it actually works more like a multiverse, then all of those things may be on top of each other. So
we already have multiversal with like Lig.
Yeah. So
that's true.
Right. So that there may be more, and I don't want to divert our Daedric Prince talk deep lore stuff.
I mean, this series is so straightforward. None of this is even remotely confusing.
Right. So, but it makes me start to wonder, because like these fringe ideas like Kelpas and things like that, I wouldn't be surprised if many of us have been getting that stuff wrong for decades now. And in the actual tomes that they're pulling this stuff from, they're like looking at us like a bunch of idiots making YouTube videos on and podcasts on the internet, and then they're like metering out more stuff, and then we'll probably get more stuff in Elder Scrolls 6, and eventually it'll be like, oh well, we were really off on that to begin with, so I guess we'll just, you know, move on. And of course there's going to be people who are just like, no, that they ruined it. this was the truth, you know. But I guess we'll see where that goes. And Spartan's joining us. Spartan, welcome. Can you hear us? Are you here?
Might still be connecting.
Yeah.
Not really yet.
He's a fledgling, Daedric Prince.
We're waiting for you to be born.
Simply a thought.
Any moment now. All right. So where were we at with the whole Daedric Prince? We talked about
before we derailed.
I was just trying to like that we derailed from there, because I was like, I wonder what a cool origin of a psychopomp prince would be. Like maybe they were a god before. So that's how we kind of derailed from that. Yeah.
I think that's a cool idea.
To get a cool origin.
I think that's a really cool idea, because there is a lot of mystery around what happens to souls and how all of that works. To have like a maybe even a like very quiet unknown prince in the background who's just kind of managing that stuff and doesn't want to be known, you know, like,
well, that and like we have a lot they've kind of been more introduced with the Elder Scrolls Online, the demi princes, which we've seen sort of frequently,
yeah, like Hollowjack.
That's what I was thinking. It was like Hollowjack, except like less B tier like type of deal.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Hollowjack was kind of neat, like as a idea, but it's definitely, you know, it's obvious that it's like, oh yeah, you're definitely like a demi prince. You're definitely not.
We need to do something for Halloween.
He pushed the demi prince. No.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so psychopomp. We got the weather one. We've got, what was the one before, the cancer and mutations and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Right. Growth.
So these are interesting.
Uncontrolled growth.
All right. Well, we need to take a quick break and thank our patrons, but be thinking about some other ones. There definitely got to be some other ideas out there that we just haven't hit yet. So get some thoughts going. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, we have to thank our new patrons and welcome them. Thank you for joining to Nomadish, I think is how you say that. Posse N, Sean J, and Swig, welcome to the Patreon. And we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Foul, Hearsene, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kirasi, and Peter. R. Thank you so much for your support. And to all 113 of our current patrons, thanks for being here. Also, just appreciate a reminder. Yeah, Lotus appreciates it too. Just a reminder, I've been streaming more. I started streaming actual more gameplay stuff this week. And on Tuesday, I played some ESO, and I've been playing through the side quests of the new zone. And putting that up on the Patreon. So you can join me live for those streams at twitch.tv/robotsradio. And if you want to catch them later, they will all become both video or audio content. You can just listen to the audio if you want to, like some of the episodes I used to put up on the feed. So that stuff is available as another way to say thank you so much for everybody who supports the show. So lots of extra stuff. I'll try to get as many of those up every month as I can. There will at least be one. I'll shoot for at least one, but probably more. And I know Lotus hasn't had as much time to play lately, but Lotus...
I know. I am really hoping to get back on. My biggest problem is the fact that I keep saying, well, I couldn't possibly work more hours this week than last week. And then I prove myself wrong immediately after saying
that. Yeah, that happens. But one of the things we're thinking about doing is taking some of Lotus's gameplay and put that up on the Patreon as well.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people enjoy audio versions of stuff. And hopefully we can change the way it's done a little bit to make it a little more audio friendly.
Yeah. So one of the things I do, like if you've listened to any of the gameplay versions I've done, I try to narrate what the character's thinking as I role play through the adventure. And then when anybody chimes in chat, those are the voices in my head who are talking to me and telling me what to do. So it's always fun for people to jump in and say things because they end up as voices in my head. So it's a lot of fun. So Lotus might do something very similar, and then we'll have a lot of extra bonus content for our patrons, which would be fun. But we just want to say thanks to everybody for the support, and we'll read some reviews and stuff in the future. I don't want to take too much out of our conversation, but if you'd like to support us on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review and some words. We'll read that out in the future. You can also rate the show on Spotify and share it with your friends. All that stuff is super helpful. But let's get back to the conversation. We've got more Daedric Prince stuff to talk about. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
Well, it looks like AK Spartan's been trying to join us. Is your audio? Your audio's not working? Having audio issues, don't worry about you. All right, if you get it figured out, let us know. I know you'll probably have some thoughts about Daedric Princes. I feel like you're the kind of guy thinks about these things and comes up with fun ideas.
As a quick thing, for a free plug for AKs, I actually really enjoy the Elden Archives, which is AK's thing. And from somebody who also plays Elden Ring, their monster design is one thing that I will say Souls games have an incredible talent at making. Those creatures are horrific.
It's an amazing game. The visuals in that game are just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very unsettling and unique is kind of, which is what we're kind of trying to work on, is something unique. And that, right. That game, all of the Souls games are very unique.
Yeah. Very, very cool stuff. All right. Who has any other ideas? Who has ideas that they want to share for other Daedric Princes? Anything else, you know, stick out to you? Anything else that, I mean, we could even go meta. Like, what if there was a Daedric Prince that did things that didn't make any sense to anyone in Tamriel, but made sense to us? Like, they looked like Pac-Man, and they liked to eat Lunchables.
Don't we already? Yeah, Mike Liar. Don't we already have him? Yeah,
I guess Mike does. Mike does kind of break
Zelda amiibo.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can do something like that. That could be part of it.
So, I've got a bit of an idea.
Okay.
All right.
Go for a blinding.
So it came up when we were talking about essentially like the mirrored version of like the Aedra.
Mm-hmm.
A Daedric Prince of Time would be like partially why it's even possible to have the dragon breaks, and like why certain, like, because how does time break? Like, how do you mess up time that bad when there's someone specifically dedicated to that may be the most powerful?
I like that you brought that up, because that was like where my thought originally went. I was like, well, there's ACOTAR, so we've got the God of Time, but I was like, if we've got parallels to thing. Time manipulation isn't something, it's always skirted around in the series without doing too much with it.
Well, isn't that also part of the place of Aethelia? Wow, words were all hard for me right for a moment.
A little bit.
Please.
Well, I haven't played through yet. So, just as a base, I can't spoil anything. I've just been in the scribing quest line, so I literally haven't even started Gold World's main quest. So I couldn't spoil anything if I wanted to.
So we'll just say all sorts of things, and everyone's gonna be like, "No, one of those must be true." I don't know.
Turns out, a month later, when we finish the quest, we're all like, "A liar!"
I can't believe she met Iron Man.
Dumbledore.
But we do already have a mirror for Akatosh, technically, although not in the way that Blinding is talking about, and that's Azura, because Azura is the Prince of Transitions.
The transitions thing. Okay, yeah, that's actually a good point.
That we do have a mirror for Akatosh, but we don't have a mirror in that way. We have 16 princes, we have 8 Aedra or 10 Aedra or whatever. So there's bound to be overlap. I think there's a good direction with where Blinding's taking that. All the same,
yeah, and on the note of I guess Aethelia, just as the concept, as well as Hermaeus Mora, they deal a lot with, you know, seeing fate, manipulating fate.
It's almost like the future of time. Like, fate and the paths feel like future time, and Akatosh feels like the foundation of time itself.
Yeah, because they're kind of referred to a little differently in this series, where it's like, well, things are kind of set up where they will happen, but only if these other things happen to make them happen. If you twist one of those, well, now it doesn't have. So it's like, it's very manipulable. That is an awful word to say and not choke on my own tongue.
They make it very clear that Hermaeus Mora is not actually able to manipulate time himself.
Right.
He can influence people. But
he can influence people to do it, but yeah, he can't mess with it. He can just see all the outcomes and stuff, which is like a great skill to have, but also you got to try to coax other people to change it if you need it changed.
Right. And it seems like Aethelia has a little bit more of a like ability to actually
direct
that
connection with like, hey, I don't like this outcome, time to change it.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting though, because like all of those things are interconnected, but to what Blinding is saying, Akatosh is more the foundation of time itself. It would be like a Daedric Prince is the Daedric Prince of mountains, and it's actually the granite of the mountain that they're in charge of, right? Like, time itself as a substance, as a thing that is or it'd be like having a Daedric Prince of gravity. Like, gravity is a foundational thing in just the way nature works, right? Like, so to have somebody who's like a dark reflection of that in some way would be interesting. And like, what you're saying, like,
float.
What was that?
the gravity joke. Just like, they're floating.
Called antimatter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could go in the gravity direction, but like, back to the concept, the idea that like a Daedric Prince of Time would be messing up even just the foundational way that time works, and that's why dragon breaks happen. It's not because Akatosh chose for it to happen, it's because Akatosh had to fix it.
Right. Like, even could be the potential of shifting people's places in the timeline, because Akatosh is like, very specifically, this is the way forward, right?
Yeah.
And what's the new Daedric Prince's name?
Aethelia.
Aethelia. Okay. So she can manipulate the possibilities of that, and Hermaeus Mora can do that indirectly by convincing people with temptations and whatnot. But like, the idea that it can alter the forward flow, not the outcomes, but like the specific,
right?
It can flow backwards, forwards. It allows for the multiple different endings to, say, Daggerfall, right?
So an analogy would be like, Akatosh is like, has carved out the river of time. Right. But whether it's Aethelia or any other Daedric Prince or any other power, other people can make like tributaries. They can make connections in the water that loop it back on itself. They could just have it go off on the side and just form a lake somewhere. Like, they can take time and do things with it that Akatosh wasn't originally planning for that to happen, which could play into things like the theory that the Dwemer just moved themselves in time or removed themselves from time. What if they made a deal with a Daedric Prince who's able to do that, and it backfired or something?
Isn't Alduin sent through time.
He is, so right. You okay. Could, the dragons are sent through time, too.
I've been holding this in for a long time.
Yeah.
Let me, I want to go on my Alduin rant. There you go. I've been holding on to Alduin for the last 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
We have had an age-old like comparison that was not relevant to this conversation, but we can twist it to where it is relevant to this conversation. Auriel is the beginning of time. Akatosh is the flow of time, and Alduin is the end of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
They're all. So is that not the perfect way to have Alduin be the corruption of Akatosh, the end of times, the breaker of times? He's the one who decided to abandon his duties and time just went astray. Thus, that's like the ultimate dragon break.
It is, and I mean, this is, I guess, tangentially related, but I just think it's cool because, like, the series obviously has changed the way Daedric Princes have been introduced, they've been added, they've been subtracted occasionally and stuff like that. How cool would it be if at the, like, as the conclusion, I guess, spoilers for Skyrim, just a heads up on that one.
Spoilers
everybody.
For Arena.
Just release that. Let's not.
Whoa. How long? Wait, hold on real quick.
Skyrim yet. What the heck?
Wait, real quick. Just, it occurs to me, I'm going to let Lotus talk, but it has been what? How long since Skyrim now?
Almost 13 years.
13 years.
So. Or like one.
What's the distance between Skyrim and Arena?
Oh, God.
I think Arena came out when I was born.
16 years? God. Was it 95?
I
want to
say
Arena's
like...
95,
it's
right?
90.
Yeah, it was 95.
Yeah, so that's 16 years. It's almost as long between now and Skyrim as it is from Skyrim to Arena. What?
Oh,
I never said cool. I didn't finish it. I'm just 94. Saying they just released 94. It.
Oh, sorry, it's like 94?
A couple years ago. Yeah, 94.
Yeah, Daggerfall was 95, you're right. Because it was like a year later or something. Okay, yeah. But 94. Point still, But
so
anyways,
in a similar amount of close. Time, we've got nothing.
It's amazing. And I don't want to derail the conversation. It just kind of occurred to me. I was like, it's almost been the same amount of time between each
four
of those
mainline
things.
Games.
I'm
and like
literally
eight
withering
spin-offs.
Away to dust. Yeah, on this podcast hearing that.
All right. So what were you saying, Lotus? I'm sorry.
Sidetracked. So when you defeat Alduin to close up Skyrim, and we haven't really gotten any more information on where things go from there. There's a couple open storylines of like what happens to the Dark Brotherhood, which one of those actually happened. Like there's some questions to be answered. What if in the same way that, you know, we kind of got our jiggalag answer in that expansion with the Shivering Isles, what if Alduin becomes a Daedric Prince as a result of how we ended Skyrim, and it becomes what we're talking about? Like, how cool would that be?
Finishing my point.
Yeah, like that's where I was going. I actually, once you started to make that, I was like, oh, I love where this could be going. This could be really cool.
He's a corruption of an Aedra, which is what most princes are in some way.
So you brought up Jiggalag. I've got a crazy theory on that, but I'll save that if anyone wants to hit me up later on like Discord or something.
Next episode.
Yeah, right.
But crazy theories.
Yeah. I just, I love the fact that like
it just twists the story just a little bit.
Yeah. And it, yeah, exactly. It gives a conclusion to that. And at the same time is also like, oh, okay, that's totally in line with how some of these Daedric Princes even show up to begin with. It's these weird either corruptions of things or formations of something. You've got some of the original Ur-Daedra, but like some of these have been popping up along the way. Or actually, Hircine's in chat, but you know, suddenly Hircine just kind of shows up because I don't know, there's a new Daedric Prince and they need to separate.
Suddenly Hircine.
I have a question about this. So if Alduin becomes a Daedric Prince, would that mean he takes over Sovereign God as his own realm because that's Alduin where he originally died? Yeah, Alduin.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what if Sovereign God was always his realm? What if he was always a prince? That's a kind of a dumb idea, but it's a possible idea.
It'd just be funny.
They could definitely fit that into the lore.
Yeah.
Literally kicked him out of his own realm.
Right. I think we have to be too careful of like assigning anybody with super strong powers and ability to change things as Daedric Princes, right? Like there are many very powerful entities in the series, and some of them exist and function in very mysterious ways, but they're not Daedric Princes, right?
Well, safe bet there is that Alduin does seem, and this is arguable, of course, but he seems to be separate from Akatosh, and he does seem to be a Nordic god. in some respect. Not a good one, but he does seem to be a Nordic god.
Yeah. Problematic
and
one.
And so is Hermaeus Mora.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that's like, if we were to do a diagram and have like lump everything into circles, you could say godlike beings, and that includes everything from Aedra to Daedra to just powerful entities that people don't really have a firm understanding of. And then you can very specifically say, okay, well, this little corner over here is Aedra, this little corner over here is Daedra, and then you have the constellations, and then you have like all of these other things, right? And then, but all of those could be godlike beings that are more powerful than mortals, and so therefore could be worshipped by mortals. That seems like a commonality in the series, is that like once something is seen as powerful enough, I mean, heck, I mean, you could talk about the tribunal, right? Anytime something becomes powerful enough, it can be worshipped. So that fits. I'm not, this isn't to detract from your point. You're right. Like the Nords worship many different kinds of powerful beings. Not all of them are Aedra or Daedra. So,
and sure. I don't think we should just grab any powerful being and say, oh, they're a Daedra prince. But I think the fact that he's so disconnected from everything else when it comes to his deityhood, that it would be kind of safe for him to be the one that we lump into Daedra prince.
Yeah.
And there's enough evidence that we could kind of lean him into that direction. And I think he's the safest choice of that.
Right. Right.
That
and
being said,
go ahead. Go ahead, Blimey.
Sorry. There is already an instance of a dragon being turned into Daedra already in the lore, like straight up the Titans. I mean, it's it.
Oh, the Daedra Titans.
Yeah. Right. They like have the ability to transition.
Yeah. And then Fala says, I mean, the tribunal do count as gods. Yes. I would define anything that is a god as a being that's more powerful than mortals that can be worshipped by mortals.
Heresy. Right.
So yes, String any of up. Those things are gods, like little G, little G gods, right? Like if you were to try to define a big G god in Elder Scrolls, it would have to
little
be
little G god sounds so cute.
It would have to be like, I don't know, Sithis or like something like at the formation of everything that was like,
yes,
you know. Sorry.
Yeah, potentially the Hiss, because those things are creepy.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Like the Hiss aren't Daedra, right? Like they're just powerful entities that are more powerful than mortals.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, Anu, the Godhead,
what if they
something
were?
Like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We could go in that route. And Hersine, thank you. Yeah, Anu would be the other option for like a capital G god. Anu, like Padome or Sithis or whatever is on the other end of
the
that.
Dreamer.
Like maybe those, the dreamer themselves, the
There's
prisoner's
so many, like,
mind.
Tiers of like.
So
epic
what if
power levels?
Let's talk Hiss. Like we're getting close to the end of the episode, but like the Hiss is an interesting one. What if we found out that the Hiss were a Daedric prince?
Like the hive mind Hiss?
Right. Like they've been around since the beginning of creation, that they are beyond creation. They are more powerful than any mortals. They have their own agenda, although it's mysterious and we don't really understand it. They are worshipped and regarded by respect by certain types of mortals, primarily Argonians. What if the Hiss is just a different type of Daedric prince? It just doesn't play like the other Daedric princes.
What if it's the growth one we started this episode
right.
with?
Yeah. What if it's the nature Daedra?
If you were to have an existing one embody that idea of the Prince of Growth, I feel like having them be it is pretty fitting. Yeah.
Yeah. I stand by the fact that I really hope in eventually one of the games they delve more into the Hiss, because they are way creepier than like the series ever lets on. And I'm like, this is this weird hive mind that they sometimes go rogue and then they like screw with the brains of those that are barned by them. It's like
the Hiss
things are
transforms
horrifying.
The beings into new beings. So it's having them grow and evolve.
And And again, like this is super deep cut for the 14 of us who have read the novels, but like they go into some of like what happens when they go like kind of rogue and like all the side effects that happen from these things going rogue and they
like being disconnected from the rest of the Hiss. That's
right.
What you mean by going rogue, which is super weird. It's
like
so weird.
Barbus and Clavicus that file.
Right. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Exactly. So
yeah, are they the same thing or are they not? Are all the Hiss one thing or are they individuals? They seem to be both at the same time somehow. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that's weird.
It's a paradox. Dun, dun, dun.
Ghost Toad Lit in chat says the Daedric Prince of Patience. That's the Hiss.
the longest of games.
Yeah. So one more. I had one more idea before we go. We speaking of Clavicus Vile, there's like a kind of the Daedric Prince of wagers and deals. What if we like took that and separated out luck, like a Daedric Prince of luck, like fortune, like not just deal making, but like actual luck. It feels a little Sheogorath, sort of. It feels a little Clavicus Vile, sort of. But like nocturnal luck.
It maybe feels like a little bit that, the new one too.
That's technically nocturnal, but like, but just yeah, maybe like
changing of fates.
Yeah, we talked about how they all kind of step on each other's toes a little bit. Like, what if you were to take the aspects of luck from any of the like from nocturnal, Clavicus Vile, whoever else that makes sense. And you put that into its own, like, formulated its own data.
I know what you're saying. And I do sort of see the some degree of ties to nocturnal, especially, like, the nocturnal pull less in the overall grand scheme of things, but more how nocturnal deals specifically with the Thieves Guild.
Right.
Because when she, like, shuns the Thieves Guild because they're doing shady stuff. I won't spoil any more Skyrim, I promise, people. but they're doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. And like their luck, literally, as if it's a thing, runs out and they just like, they just become essentially morons at their own thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to go rob this store. And it's like, oh, I tripped on the way in. I blundered in. I broke five things and I actually owe them now because they're going to beat me up if I don't pay for all the damages I did. It's like, okay, this is the like unluckiest Thieves Guild ever.
Yeah. What's and the expression? Elephant in a China shop her. Or something?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a D&D god that in his, before it got like changed throughout the years, it kind of represented what you're talking about in a bit. It's called Mask. He's like the god of thieves and shadows, but he was based on like the luck of thieves. And that's very much what Nocturnal kind of already is, but so there's definitely an overlap with that. And if you look up Mask lore now, he's just like an evil, like thieving, lying god. So it's not really
took a different direction
to the point anymore. But in like early 2000s and before that, this guy was like a god of luck and a god of like the success of crime and all that.
Yeah. Follow just said, imagine going to their shrine and they choose to help based on a dice roll. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like that kind of thing. Like they don't even have an agenda. It's only luck. And people pray to them for luck, but it actually doesn't do anything. Like,
gotta get lucky because, to get lucky.
Because it's just random. Like it's, and maybe that's a better word, randomness, like RNG, the RNGesus of Elder Scrolls. The Daedric Prince of Crown Crates, yes.
No, the Daedric Prince.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Tales of Tribute, there you go. Oh man, there you go. Oh, okay. I don't know if we can go too much more into this. That we'll have to end on that one.
No, but that's actually kind of an interesting idea just because most of these have a tie to some other bit of another Daedric Prince, but the idea of luck is kind of interesting, especially because luck used to be a stat in the series.
Yeah, too. It does feel very much into Nocturnal's umbrella. I'm trying to find a way to like separate it from her identity more, but it does feel very much within her own.
The randomness stuff,
part of it.
The right? Randomness side. If you actually took it out, like Nocturnal seems to have some control over the.
Okay, so like a Sheogorath,
like almost
hybrid.
A little bit of Sheo mix.
Right, right. Yep. That's why I mentioned Sheogorath as being part of that. Clavicus is kind of being part of that. Nocturnal's being part of it, but is not insane and crazy and unpredictable in a Sheogorath way. Is
indeterminate.
Random. I think random is probably the word.
Right.
Like the randomness.
Randomness, because then we're going to have like seeing kids go like putting their XD faces.
So there's just the randomness of just, the way nature feels random at times. And it would be like the Daedric Prince you worship when you're just pissed off at all the other ones because you feel like nothing ever goes your way. So you're like, oh, there's no meaning in the world. Everything's random. And so you worship this Daedric Prince, which also is ironic because they have no control over actually doing
over
anything.
Helping you or not.
Right. All right. Well, so, like, go ahead.
We got some more good ideas than I expected out of this.
Yeah, blinding.
I was just going to say, Sheogorath, has at least a method to the madness.
Right. Yeah. It seems like there's sometimes. Something underneath there, like especially in the stories about how Sheogorath like tricks the other Daedra. Like there's a sense of like enjoyment in being what he is, So even that has meaning in some, on some level.
I would say, I guess one last point on Blinding's thing is like, it comes across as random, but the thing about Shi'a-Goreth, which is the hardest, and I find one of the creepiest aspects of Shi'a-Goreth, and it's really kind of explored in like a couple parts, but they almost shy away from it sometimes. When Shi'a-Goreth goes from being not so jovial and goofy and like haha cheese gimmick, like, which is totally fine, and into the just unpredictability factor where it's like he'll be laughing, smiling, whatever, and then just completely dead serious and something really, really dark out of left field. It actually happens in the Elder Scrolls Shivering Isles card game, like in Legends, quite a bit with his story.
Yeah, when he goes like all dark Joker on you.
Like that dark sort of jokes to the point of it's right. Just like, oh, okay, that's like the unpredictability more than anything else is what I find really unsettling about that character. Right. And it's not so much random as it's just unpredictable.
Right, right. It's unpredictable to mortals, but he knows exactly what he's doing. And that's,
there
that's
seems
the
like an end goal with that unpredictability rather than just like, ah, crap, I rolled a one, here's a cucumber. Like that's
right, plays a part into that theory that I have. And it's a doozy if you want to hear it. I know we don't have time here, but
feel free to share it on the Discord. I'm sure people would love to read it.
I do. Yeah. So DM me with it.
I'll post it up somewhere.
All right. Well, we're at the end of the show. We've come up with all sorts of crazy ideas. This thing started out and we were like, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
I don't know. And now everyone's like, trying to ball rolling. So many ideas.
Yeah. You guys all had some really great ideas. That's awesome. Well, here, let's go through and feel free to real quick, just shout out something you want to put out into the world. Otherwise, you can let people know how to reach out to you, that sort of thing. We'll start with Rob. He's first on my screen after Lotus. So Rob, you got anything you want to share?
Yeah, Rob the Princess. I am on Twitter still, and I am still officially a guild officer of the PCNA group for the Lorecasters, and we're still in there doing stuff, so you should join us. And Sky Oblivion Project is still getting there, so check that out. That's all my shout-outs.
Nice. Yeah, come join us on the guild. I'll be playing more ESO, so... Who knows? Maybe I'll join in and do some fun stuff with everybody too. So that should be fun. Yeah. Follow in chat's like, ooh, we have an ESO guild. Yep. There's a channel in the Discord. Look at the ESO section and you can apply to join in there.
You can apply and we'll accept your invite.
Yeah. All right. Ben, you got stuff going on.
Oh, I always have stuff going on. So I'm Ben of Tamara. You can find me on my podcast, a part of this network, the Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast.
Nice.
And I do all those. I do three of those shows live on my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/Ben of Tamara. And go in the Discord and tag me if you can think of any video game or anime character I could voice, because I have to make a demo here in the next week.
Video game or anime character? Off the top of my head.
My mom. I need characters.
Rob's mom is in a video game. Did you know?
No.
Just found out. Awesome. Yeah, share some ideas for Ben. Ben, thank you for being here. All right, Blinding. What do you got?
Hi, Blinding Vision. I'm in the Discord. I'm not super active in the Discord. Really bad about it. I do play ESO on Xbox. I'm on mostly Tuesdays and Wednesdays at a very specific time frame because we're running trials. But if you hit me up, send me a message, a whisper, whatever, I'll try to get back to you. Again, really bad about it.
Nice. This is like a challenge. This is like a gameplay challenge. You get an achievement if you can get Blinding Vision to play with you. Thanks for being here, man. All right, Falcon, you got anything you want to share?
No, I don't do anything. I'm somewhat active in the Discord, mostly talking in the general more so than Elder Scrolls or anything. But
I like the cat ears on your headset.
They're nice.
Yeah, they look real good. Well, thanks for joining us. And then
thanks for having me.
Yeah, and then we got Spartan. I don't know if Spartan's audio is working again or not. Spartan, you there?
Oh, I should be good. I just didn't.
Hey,
I came in so late. I didn't want to.
Oh, you're fine. Yeah. Don't sweat it. You're fine. You got anything you want to share before we head out?
Yeah, of course. So I am AK Spartan. I am one of the two hosts of the Elden Archives, which is the FromSoft Lorecast. I'm currently focused on Elden Ring for the in the Rocket Club with the network. Those episodes come out every weekend, and I've been playing Elden Ring a lot, obviously, with the DLC coming out. We talked about that a little bit last night at the end of the Fallout show. It's just been been so much going on with the DLC and everything. So it's been a lot of fun, though. It's been cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, go check out his show if you're interested about Elden Ring lore. And there's a ton. There's a ton to know about Elden Ring lore. So I think you'll be happy you found the show. Spartan, thanks for being here. All right, Lotus, it's just you and me. Anything you want to share?
Yeah, we got out an episode of Tales. We kind of had to delay a little longer than you generally do weekly to bi-weekly, but being that the release schedule for Gold Road was like kind of waiting on me to lead the conversation, I'm like, well, this is going to be awkward because I don't have it yet on console. It finally dropped on console. Been loving it. We had our initial impressions last week, and we're actually going to hopefully do another one this week where we can kind of dive into a little more of the stuff that's been happening. Still no spoilers on that show. It'll be a while before we do our full spoiler cast over there as well, but been really enjoying the new stuff from Elder Scrolls Online. Can't say enough good things about the scribing area, the music in the Scalarium, chef's kiss.
I haven't I haven't really paid attention to the music.
I love it, I'm obsessed with it. And I don't really even understand why. I just think it's great,
the layout, like the zone, that little area with like
so
the,
good,
like the architecture and stuff, everything, it looks really cool.
Yep.
I didn't even think about the music.
And the quest for there is very cool. So that's what I've been doing in my kind of limited game time. I've really been trying to dive into Gold Road, and I've been enjoying it a lot. I haven't started the main quest, but I've been really enjoying the side stuff I've been doing so far.
Awesome. Yeah, go check out Tales of Tamriel. And if you are interested in any of the other stuff I'm doing, the Fallout Lorecast, the Starfield Lorecast, which is on hiatus, but we'll come back once the DLC's out. And then the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. I'm getting into The Hobbit. We're doing a very close reading of The Hobbit, which is super fun. So if you want to check that out, that's all available for you. Robotsradio.net for my shows and a bunch of other shows on the network. And thanks for being here, everybody. Lotus and I will be back next week. And if you see either of us streaming games on Twitch, come hang out, chat with us. We love talking with you and the rest of the community. Lotus, I keep getting comments on the Discord of people who are like, hey, I'd love to chat with you sometime. And you know how that goes. You get lots of requests like that, and you just don't have time to do all of that. But being able to chat with people during live streams makes that a lot more easy to manage, right? So it's a great opportunity. But all right, everyone.
Yes. Yeah. We should end on our random page, though, because the Danger Prince of the random page is still with us.
No, we forgot again. All right, here we'll we go. I just pulled it up.
We have the Danger Prince of random pages from the UESP.
Well, this one, I just hit random. Just pulled it up. The UESP random page says Oblivion mod save file format info. This is the most.
That sounds good.
This
is not lore focused at all.
This is deep lore.
An info change record type 58 describes changes to the game's dialogue responses, info mod file records. Only one flag has been observed in an info record, and it does not add any sub records. Topic said once 28.0 size. This information has been confirmed from actual save files. There's more.
Get the zero size part of that. It's otherwise my favorite page.
This is so technical. It goes on and says, Topic said once is true when bit 28 left bracket 0x10000000 right bracket is set in an info record's overall flags. No sub records or data are added to the record when this flag is set.
These guys do not get paid enough.
There you go. Oh, it also has a name. Name is not available. Here, I'll link it right now in chat.
We'll link that in chat. Wait for me to catch up on this part of the lore.
Name is not available. Type slash size is zero. And info is no data is added to the record. In the category, I'm just going to stop.
Keep going.
All right.
Hold on, real quick.
We're the most.
That's the end of it. It's just the category section.
8 minutes of the cast is just.
If you have
Tom
to scroll.
Reading.
Yeah, no, it's really not that long. That's about all of it right there. That's hilarious. Yeah, that's what we get here. Scene when you hit the random button. But hey, I stayed true to it. I did not hit it a second time because if I hit a second time, we could have been talking about Elder Scrolls Online classes, which would have been a much more interesting post. But we'll should have to talk about that stuff later. Thanks for being here, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you next time. See you later.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.